Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
The sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us. NFL appetizers, news and notes from around the league coming up before 5 o'clock and happy hour, a round of shots as well. And you can go back and listen to any part of the show you may have missed with radio.com rewind. Download the radio.com app to fully enjoy ESPN Rochester. One of our favorites joining us in the sports bar, one of our regulars, Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse Post Standard. Matt, we were just looking back at our last show post-isolation, or pre-isolation, I should say. I believe you were the last person that we had on as a guest before Gene and I were sent into, cryo-freeze for a four-month isolation time. How are you, Matt? How are you and yours?
I'm good. I apologize that you couldn't have gone out with more of a bang, but I try to do what I can. I about missed Gene's call just now because we got a T-ball game today. It's our third game. Little factoid, we're playing against Max Capaccio tonight.
Oh, boy.
Little media sons battle. This is Max's first game tonight. He just joined the league because his league isn't going. So we're getting some BP, and I just look at my phone. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to go on the radio here. So glad to be back in.
I'm jonesing to call a game. Can I get out there in time? I want to call against the Perinos, against the Capaccios. This will be a blast. Matt, did I see you wearing a Blue Jays hat? Is that because your son's team is? Are they the Blue Jays? Are you the rare Blue Jay fan that lives in Buffalo?
Yeah, so I grew up a Yankees fan, but from a cheering perspective, I don't know. Like once you get into this business, it just changes a little bit. So I haven't really, baseball has been kind of lower on the totem pole the last couple of years. But I would consider myself a Yankees fan growing up, but. With the proximity to Toronto and the Blue Jays, I think my little guy's gonna end up being a Blue Jays fan, so I'm gonna have to transfer allegiances.
Makes all the sense in the world. I don't know why there aren't more Blue Jays fans in Rochester or Buffalo, considering that proximity. We can go to a game easier there than anywhere else. Why wouldn't we become Blue Jays fans?
Of course. It makes a lot of sense. Hopefully we can get to a world again where we can actually go to some of these games. It's a sad time, sad summer for little sports fans, little baseball fans.
Well, let's talk about that world because I think we're getting a little bit closer to it, inching closer towards it. We get a lot of like big headlines of things that are happening in the NFL, concessions that are being made by owners for players. We get word today that Bills rookies are reporting to the team for their first round of COVID tests. Matt, what is the latest? What are you hearing? And what are the prospects of everything, kind of going off on time here in terms of the Bills? I mean, differently, obviously, than what we're used to, but the Bills and their players reporting on time for training camp and the potential of a on-time start for week one.
Yeah, it appears we're kind of all systems go here. I mean, we're getting just the bare minimum of information as we go here as the team is getting it. I mean, this is a real tough time for all these squads and clubs around the country trying to formulate plans, and there's so many protocols, and you're just talking about inside the building and then dealing with the media and everything like that, but it does look like we'll be able to cover training camp in a pretty normal way in the sense that we'll be there and be able to watch whatever portion we're able to watch. That'll be interesting to see how that kind of unfolds. If you look at Ian Rappaport's tweet from earlier this morning, we're looking at like almost 3 weeks after the start of training camp before pads go on. So, there's not really going to be a whole lot you know, on the field type of stuff to really sink our teeth into. And now with no preseason game, I mean, there's a whole slew of prospects coming into the NFL, and, you know, undrafted free agents and fringe roster guys that are really not going to have the same opportunities they have in most years. But unfortunately, just in the COVID world, you know, you have to make some concessions in some areas. And the one thing I did tweet yesterday, like, yeah, this does stink for those guys. And trust me, I'm a big Cam Lewis fan. No UB bias there, none whatsoever. But I've talked to him a few times this offseason. He's a guy that I think is, you know, kind of a sleeper, like a guy that played real well before the concussion last year and could maybe push some guys in camp. And he's not going to have a game. But, you know, if anybody pops for COVID, if there are injuries because of the lack of an acclimation period, you know, a lot of these guys are going to get called into action. So, you know, the one good thing for the Bills, and I keep telling people this, is that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done such a nice job building this roster that I still think that you're going to end up with 50 to 53 of the guys that you were going to probably have anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and furthermore, I mean, could one of the concessions be an expanded practice squad? I mean, wouldn't that make sense this of all years that for a lot of these younger guys, why cut them if you really can't get an evaluation, number one? And number two, you might have to dip into a bigger pool here later down the road. We hope that doesn't happen, but that's a real possibility.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything out there yet, and correct me if I'm wrong, like it still seems like 90 players are reporting. I have not seen an 80 or 75 number in any of these proposals. Reports. So, I mean, we're still looking at 90 people, and I think that the last piece of information I saw was the practice squad ballooning to 16, and there being six players that you could have on the practice squad with there being no prerequisites. It could be a 10-year free agent or an undrafted rookie for those six spots, and that's going to help, you know, especially for the Bills who. You know, if you really like Jake Fromm and he has a really strong training camp and you don't want to cut him, but you don't trust him enough to make him your backup, maybe you cut Matt Barkley, keep Fromm, and then put stash Barkley on your practice squad if you still want him in the room. There's so many of those little situations, but I still want to see how it's going to be ironed out, if it's going to be traditional wave, cut, sign, protocols. Like, are we still looking at the same process, or are there going to be players that you can cut right before the season and maybe put them in a special pocket of guys that you don't want to be available to the rest of the league? I don't know how that's going to work. And with no preseason games, it's anybody's bet. But I also did see a report that one general manager, unnamed general manager, said that, you know, without the evaluation tools, the preseason games, you know, we'll make it work. And I feel like that's Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean to a T. I'm sure if we ask them that when we get a chance to sit down and talk with them for the first time, they're going to say, listen, these are the parameters. We're going to take it in and adjust. And, you know, they'll use it as a motivational tool of some sort to their guys.
I want to go back to player safety for a second, Matt, because, boy, we can't get enough of talking about logistics and you know, player safety and everything. We know that all teams had to submit an infectious disease emergency response plan to the players' union, and while all teams put together their plan, only eight of those plans have been approved. We know if the Bills fall in the one of those eight teams that had their plans approved, or are they one of the 24 that have their plans currently under review? Have we heard anything on that?
I do not know if that's the case. I've not been told. And to be honest with you, I think they're keeping everything pretty close to the vest right now because of, you know, this is uncharted territory. But I will say, going back to when we were talking to Sean in June, the last time we got a chance to meet with him right before the end of their virtual off season, he was talking about most of their days being spent going out over, you know, facility protocols and what's going to happen when players are in the facility, their best practices, and taking the advice of the league and seeing how they'll implement it within their structure. So, I mean, this isn't something that, you know, the Bills left for the virtual off season and then started to try to figure out a plan. This was something they were starting to formulate, you know, 2 months ago. So I think that it wouldn't surprise me if they were one of them. And I think that they're kind of a team with the kind of organizational structure anyway under McDermott. Like, we know he's very detail oriented, and he likes to run a tight ship. I have a feeling that this thing will be well run by the Bills, but no, I don't know if that specifically if they're one of those teams.
Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar. You have an article up today, and I don't know if you write the headlines on your article, so I'm going to ask you the question as it's written on your thing. Is Josh Norman the answer opposite Tre'Davious White? Answer that question. I mean, is that a real camp battle? I mean, if you get anything out of Josh Norman at this point, I mean, I think Danger called it a favor when we heard this this story back in February that Josh Norman was so shot back in Washington that who else but Buffalo would give him a chance here to continue his career?
It's so funny that you asked that, and I actually did write that headline, so spice things up a little bit. I think that's one of the more intriguing camp battles because while if you go back and look at some of the tape of Josh Norman the last couple of years in Washington, I just think there are so many factors that go into why some players might have struggled there, and not the least of which is the scheme fit. I mean, that's a big deal, especially for a cornerback that maybe isn't the fastest, isn't the biggest. I mean, Josh Norman was kind of set up for success under Sean McDermott. And I think what the conversations that they had, the way that I heard Sean McDermott talk about Josh and the chip that's on his shoulder and what he's planning to prove here, it leads me to believe that they brought him in here to, at the very least, a very, very strong competition for Levi Wallace at that cornerback two job. Now, I think E.J. Gaines is definitely in the mix as well if he can stay healthy. But again, I think that's a bigger question mark than if Josh Norman has anything left, because E.J. Gaines has been injured the last 2 years. He didn't even make it to the season last year. And somebody tweeted at me today when I put that article out about Levi Wallace and said, am I missing something here? I don't know what Levi Wallace did last year to have his job threatened. And I would just say, give up 3 touchdowns. And there were a lot of games where he gave up some big plays, and I think a lack of high-end speed and maybe the issues that he has occasionally being out physical by bigger receivers. I just think that Josh Norman has the potential to bring a different element, not to mention his standing in the locker room. Like, they lost Lorenzo Alexander. Sean McDermott's going to look for leaders. I know they love Tremaine Edmonds, and he's going to step into a leadership role. Tre'Davious White kind of leads by example. He's really, really quiet. And Jerry Hughes, while kind of an elder statesman of the group, he's also a little bit enigmatic in how that he chooses to lead. So I think that Josh Norman, a guy that brought, like, I think it was a dozen defensive players down to his home in Virginia about a month ago now. He organized almost the offensive version or the defensive version of what the offense did earlier this summer. And by all accounts, everybody I've talked to, he's assumed a leadership role. I think Sean McDermott, he's a guy that he doesn't strike out much when it comes to defensive backs. I mean, if you look at his batting record in Buffalo, look at some of the guys that he has come in here and do a job. So I think that I will kind of give them the benefit of the doubt with Norman. I understand the hesitation to think that maybe he doesn't have anything left. But even if he's 70% of what he was in Carolina, I still think that's probably a better option than Levi Wallace.
Matt, while we might recognize the secondary of the Buffalo Bills as a strength of their defense, I think that the defensive line is still something that we can question fairly, and wondering what the lack of preseason games does for somebody like an A.J. Epenesa, who we thought coming in would be, you know, able to compete for one of those spots at the defensive end. I mean, this is all but ensure that Trent Murphy remains on the roster through training camp and is on that week one roster?
I mean, yeah, and it's funny, the Trent Murphy topic is one of the most polarizing on Bills Twitter, because I feel like, you know, he makes a lot of money and there hasn't been a whole lot of production. But, you know, Ryan Talbot and I today on our podcast, which shout out to Buffalo Football Podcast, give that a search and wherever you listen to your pods. And we did a show today where we were ranking all of the different positions. And we talked about the defensive line, and Ryan had him ranked number 3 out of all the positions on the Bills. I'm ranked number 2. I love the depth of this defensive line. I think everywhere you look, there's potential. I think that A.J. Epenesa, what the Bills offseason plan did for him was allow him to come in and pick his spots and have him kind of contribute where it's convenient and where he can while he learns. And everywhere else you look, I mean, I think that Mario Addison, more so than his sack production, is going to kind of unlock things for Jerry Hughes a little bit. If he can play on that left side, it's going to be really tough to double-team Jerry Hughes again. We'll see where he's at. He's not getting any younger. But I think if the Trent Murphy, who showed up in Houston and at home against the Jets in Week 17, if that version can show up more so than not in 2020, I think that he's going to be a real threat opposite all of these other guys that I think are really talented. And that's all on the end. I haven't even started talking about what I think Ed Oliver is going to mean in the interior. So I think that the biggest beneficiaries of the offseason work the Bills did on their defensive line are guys like Tre'Davious White and Josh Norman and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Levi Wallace. Because I think that if they're ratcheting up the pressure, if they're making things tougher on opposing quarterbacks, which I anticipate them being able to do, I think it's going to be, we could see some really fun numbers from that secondary.
I think that's a fun topic to debate here because I think, Matt, there would be a lot of people that might disagree with that take that this year's defensive line is better than last year's, considering, well, you had a Jordan Phillips that was very productive, and yeah, the Bills made the decision not to pay him. Same thing with Shaq Lawson. Where does Harrison Phillips fill into all this? Because last year he was doing really well and then got hurt. I mean, can we expect? And again, that's a question that we haven't really seen him, so it's kind of unfair for me to, I guess, ask, what do we expect out of Harrison Phillips, not knowing we haven't seen him since last September?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a kind of a slow grind for him. I don't anticipate him coming back and contributing at the level that he did when he got injured. Luckily for them, they've really bolstered things and replaced Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson. Now, to your point, I'm not downplaying the production of both of those guys. I thought Shaq Lawson was really good last year, even though that he didn't have the sack numbers that a top flight edge rushers get paid for. I still think that he was really, really important and did a really great job. But I think that Jordan Phillips' numbers might have been a little bit of fool's gold, if you will. I mean, you go back and watch a lot of games, especially in the run game, I feel like he was at times a liability. And I think that bringing guys like Vernon Butler, Quentin Jefferson, I'm very interested to see how they, two guys that I think maybe even like move a little bit better than Jordan Phillips, definitely Quentin Jefferson, who can play on the outside and the inside. And Oliver in year two, I think that Jordan Phillips' emergence kind of took snap from him, and obviously he wasn't the starter by I think it was a month into the season when Jordan Phillips took over that role. But I don't see his drop off. I think that Harrison Phillips, I would not rush him back. I mean, I think this is his second ACL injury, so that's going to be something that they're going to have to really, really monitor. And I wonder if that wasn't what went into the thinking of really bolstering up and going out and getting two new guys that can fill in for Jordan and Butler and Jefferson. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe we just spent this is a fact. We've spent way too many months here without anything to really sink our teeth into. I really would love to see them actually play a game or a padded practice so we can start to kind of get an idea of what this is going to look like.
One last one. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, because I know you got a T-ball game to get to here, but a story on Syracuse.com today, Governor Cuomo saying, no spectators at college sporting events this fall, and that certainly impacts Syracuse football if they indeed are going to have a season, which leads me to believe, well, what's the difference between having a fan at a Syracuse game and, say, a fan at a Buffalo Bills game? I mean, what's going on, if anything, behind the scenes right now, Matt? I mean, are we ready to say that there won't be fans at the stadium formerly known as New Era?
I mean, I am. I'm planning for that. I'm kind of expecting that. New York is doing so well, and it's hats off to everybody in the state, from the leadership to the citizens who have diligently been wearing masks. And I think I saw a tweet of me the other day where somebody said that where they were living, I think it was in one of the Carolinas and another state, that they went out and to a shopping and to a restaurant, barely anybody was wearing masks. And everywhere you walk around here in Buffalo, I see people wearing masks. And but I just think that all of the experts, in lieu of a vaccine, are talking about there being a second wave. And if there is a second wave and those percentages spike up, even if it's not to the you know, scary numbers that we experienced back in May, I still think that the best plan is going to be to go about this thing without fans, because it's just more controllable. I think once you add that element in, and listen, I've seen Reed Ferguson, who's been very, very vocal on social media about, you know, wanting fans at the game. We all want fans at the game. Trust me, like, there's nothing like that experience, being in an NFL football stadium with 70,000 Bills fans going nuts. You know, I grew up in this environment. I want that back just as bad as anybody else. But whatever gets us to have a season and experience a full season, I think that that's what you have to do. And I just think that you can control it a lot better if you don't have that element. What are you going to do when people are going through the gates, entering the stadium, going to the bathroom, if there's concessions, if people are a little bit inebriated and they end up, maybe blurring some social distancing lines. I just think that that's a really, really hard thing to control if you have minimum number of fans. So I think it's just going to be like, let's get through this one season, which is funny. It would be a season where the Bills probably have their best roster. And really good to have this kind of funky year that could potentially maybe even have an asterisk next to it. But, you know, you just want to get back to as much normal as you can. And I think to do that, you got to be careful with how you do this thing.
Well, Matt, we're bummed that we won't be seeing you at training camp as we would normally at St. John Fisher College.
That's my biggest bummer.
I know.
That's my biggest bummer of this whole thing. I tell people, that somebody said the other day, like, aren't you kind of glad you don't have to go to the dorms? I'm like, no, man, I love that. Like, that's one thing that I really grew to really enjoy was spending that time up in Pittsburgh, St. John Fisher, as crazy as it may sound. That kind of access and that kind of daily grind and being around everybody in one place, there was a real energy there, and I'm going to miss that. And I really hope that they go back to it. I think it's next year the last year on the contract?
That's right. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I really, really hope they go back to it, because I know they have so much built here in Buffalo, but that experience to me, that's from a fan perspective, from a media perspective, and even from a team perspective, all those guys talk about the closeness and the bonding that you get living together and staying with each other, and then the joint practice trip, like, that was a big factor in their success last year. So I think Sean McDermott might be a little bit more keen on that than people think.
Well, we'll look forward to getting some reports from you from Bills training camp this year at Orchard Park. But in the meantime, let our listeners know where they can hear more of you and Ryan and the work that you guys are doing for NewYorkUpstate.com. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. We just launched this podcast in the midst of the pandemic because we were going to wait till the start of the season, but we want to give fans some content, and we've had some really amazing guests the last couple months, and we plan to have more. Chad Michael Murray came on, local actor, Jason Tardik from The Bachelorette, Lorenzo Alexander's been on, Cam Lewis and Jarrett Patterson from UB, they were on. We're having people all the time, and actually tomorrow night we're having Kevin Smith, who was Devin Singletary's running backs coach and kind of mentor and trainer on the show tomorrow night, so we'll be talking a lot about Devin Singletary in year two tomorrow night, live on YouTube. Search NY Up. You can find us on all the podcast platforms at Shout Buffalo Football Podcast.
All right. Hope your son goes 4-for-4 tonight, Maddie. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
You got it. Matt Perino. Syracuse Post Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com. A Perino versus Capaccio T-ball matchup. You would call that game. You would do it for a fee.
I would.
You wouldn't do it for free. You're not cheap, Gene.
No, I wouldn't do it for free. What are you talking about?
You're getting at least a Finsky for doing that.
That's
right?
It. Yeah. You know why I like Matt? Because he offers you takes and you might not agree with them, but it's important to explore the other side. Are we ready to accept that Josh Norman might win that job? When you said that was a favor, David.
Sure looked like a favor to me. But there are a lot of qualities of him in the locker room that we don't get to see, right? And those are kind of things that, yeah, maybe there is a little bit of gas left in the tank. I want to see it first. Until I see it, I'm just going to go ahead and say what I said when he was signed. That looks like a favor.
Well, the best case scenario is that he has a little bit left, but the threat of competition brings out the best in Levi Wallace. And you get a better version of Levi Wallace.
That'd be great too.
And I don't necessarily agree at first with the take that this defensive line is as good as he's saying, but I appreciate his take that said, Jordan Phillips, that was fool's gold what you saw last year. This run defense can be much better. And you know what? He's right on that, because if you have an Edmonds back there, that behemoth of a man at middle linebacker, then you better have good guys up front there to take what you can there and let Edmonds do his thing and roam freely.
Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. News and notes from around the NFL, including some concessions being made by league owners. Zero preseason games. We'll explain. And a couple of moves being made in Florida and in Texas with their high school football seasons that we'll update you on as well. That's coming up next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.